This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington. Here are headlines from some of the other stories we're following here today at NPR News. The House has approved a bill to make sweeping changes to the way lawmakers deal with lobbyists. The measure aims to bring more transparency to so-called earmarks or special interest spending in lawmakers' districts. And the UN Security Council is set to approve a resolution authorizing a joint African Union United Nations force for Darfur. The measure would send up to 26,000 troops and police to the vast arid region in an effort to quell the violence there. Details of those stories and much more later today on All Things Considered. And tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, Bridget Kinsella, a professional, attractive, middle-class woman with a thriving career, not the sort you'd imagine, would fall in love with a prison inmate serving a life sentence. Her memoir is called Visiting Life, Women Doing Time on the Outside. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. But now, if you've ever flipped through a glossy magazine, you've probably seen the work of a health and beauty editor. But what exactly does that job entail? Creams, lotions, and lipstick are certainly part of it, but there are also other incentives. Think shopping sprees and exotic massages. Janet Carlson-Fried is the beauty editor for Town & Country magazine, but she says it's not always as glamorous as it sounds. If you have questions about life as a health and beauty editor, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Or email us at talk@npr.org. And as always, the conversation is also on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Janet Carlson-Fried is with us now from our New York bureau. And I will say right here at the beginning, she cannot talk about specific brands of beauty products. Janet Carlson-Fried, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rebecca.
So honestly, how fabulous is your job?
My job is really too fabulous for words.
As are you, I'm sure.
I mean, there are days when I get stressed out and I feel the pressure and I complain. I complain about my life, and then I snap out of it and I say, hey, get over it. Look at the job you have. I'm paid to come to work and to play with lipsticks and test skin creams and to sample a few fragrances, take some shampoo home. It's like twist my arm. I have a dream job.
Well, I got to tell you, I basically think I have one of the best jobs in the world because I get to talk to other people for a living. So make me jealous. What's the most luxurious thing you've gotten to do?
That's a tough one because I do a lot of luxury activities, considering that I work for Town & Country magazine, a very upscale magazine. But I will say that recently I made a trip up to Washington, Connecticut to visit the new Mayflower Spa, which is connected to the 5-star Mayflower Inn. So I stayed in a very beautiful suite in the Mayflower Inn. And I ate wonderful meals at the Mayflower Inn. I was not deprived of food. I could even have a little glass of wine each night. And I spent my days having facials, massage, private yoga sessions, Pilates class, learning from a nutritionist how I might improve my nutrition. It was a massage every day.
All right,
pedicure.
Okay, that's enough.
have I gone far enough? I'm paid. I need to repeat that. I'm paid to do that. And most people spend money to go to be able to do that. And it's my job then to come back to the office and write about it.
And all of these industries put you up on these luxurious vacations because they're desperate for you to write about them.
Well, I can't speak about their feelings, but I do get the impression that it is very important to them that I like what I see. So I am wined and dined. I am pampered. And that brings us to one of the tough parts of my job, which is to be discerning. I have to be discerning because of the marketing hype, which you've referred to. And I also have to be discerning on the part of my reader because I have a very specific reader.
Who is your reader?
My reader is a 40-something woman. She is wealthy, sophisticated, college-educated, well-traveled, interested in the best quality in everything, whether it's schools for her children or makeup products. And so I need to make sure that when I cover a product or a treatment or a spa, that it is really impeccable, the best. And that doesn't mean it has to be expensive. It could be a drugstore eyeliner, for example. But if I think it's good, I will cover it in the magazine.
Let's take a call. This is Zalalem in Reno, Nevada. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, Rebecca.
Sure.
I love this show. I'm calling. I have a comment, I guess. It seems like the health or this cosmetic industry tends to be more style over substance. And my question is, how health conscious is this industry as America becomes more obese every year? What exactly is the cosmetic industry doing to help, you know, tackle the health problems, not just cosmetic issues?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I'd like to point out that the industry, for the most part, has moved in the direction of health in many ways, and by that I mean more organic brands are coming to the forefront. The organic brands are getting better. Everybody is aware of eating disorders in models currently, and that's being addressed, and magazines like Town & Country will not feature a model who is too thin on the cover or in our pages. There are beauty brands who are starting to redefine beauty, open up the definition of beauty, get away from the Hollywood definition or the super skinny image of beauty towards something that is more inclusive and accepts all shapes and sizes. And then, of course, there is the big news in what's not in your beauty products anymore. And by that, I mean the ingredients that are being examined and sometimes taken out of our products. Parabens are an example. A preservative like parabens may or may not be associated with breast cancer. They've found them in breast cancer tumors. Eliminating parabens from beauty products is moving us in the right direction.
Let's take a call from Rose in Berkeley, California. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I'm one of these health-conscious people like the last caller, and the thing is, I only will buy products with, plant ingredients in them and natural minerals. That means that when I'm shopping, even a lot of these Zia and other brands that say, oh, we're so pure, half of their ingredients I can't pronounce, and then I have this guide, it's called Consumer's Guide to Cosmetic Ingredients. Well, it's great. The thing is, this in the natural food stores, they don't have the book right there with the products that I can look it up right there. So I have to drag around with me to the store or buy the product, take it home, and look up the ingredients, but that becomes like a full-time job. So that's one problem. And could you ask these manufacturers to please do something about this? Have more brochures from the company on the shelves that will explain some of this really fast for me. Otherwise, I will never buy their product. And another question I have is what does micronized zinc oxide, is that nanotech? And if so, that means we're absorbing it into our bloodstream more. And is that safe?
Rose, thanks for your call. Janet Carlson-Fried, let's start with the micronized question first. Do you know what that means?
Micronized means tiny, 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 pulverized, an ingredient that has been through a process, like a jet engine will pulverize powder into something very fine. So micronized is going to penetrate the superficial layers of the skin more effectively, and that is a plus. There's no doubt that beauty products are absorbed into the skin. The skin is a wonderfully waterproof organ, but things do pass into it and out through it, and so there's no doubt about it. That is a good reason to be conscious today of what ingredients are in your products. And I think the caller is asking some very good questions. Nanotechnology is another issue. In fact, today there was a report released or a principles document released calling for monitoring of nanotechnology, which is a very complicated scientific process that we probably don't have time to get into today, but that is something we're going to hear news about down the road. But for today, all we can say is it needs to be monitored for the sake of the health of our bodies and our environment. But cosmetic ingredients in general are being studied all the time, and the FDA is constantly looking at them. And I think the caller could look at websites like environmentalworkinggroup.org and safecosmetics.org, and perhaps rather than carrying around that heavy book to the stores, print out a few pages of cosmetics that they recommend.
And those labels on cosmetics, things like natural, do those mean anything? Is there any sort of regulatory body that makes sure that carries some significance?
The word natural is, in my opinion, meaningless. I see so many products. We all do, but I see everything. And so I can tell you that natural means practically nothing because it means everything. Organic is a different story. The United States is a little bit behind other countries in terms of defining and regulating the term organic. In fact, the USDA is who regulates organic on use of the term organic on labels for cosmetics. And it's really only going to tell you that 95% of that product contains organic ingredients. And most products do not carry the organic label because they contain fewer than 95% organic ingredients. But it is regulated, but just roughly products earn the label if they have that 95%. And if not, they can still use the word organic on their label. They just don't have that seal, the USDA seal.
So when you say you see everything, how many different cosmetics do you try in a given day?
Well, first of all, when I wake up in the morning, I actually apply at least 12 makeup products to my face, so that should tell you something.
But you need to go through that for me. How do you end up at 12?
I did actually count that one day. Well, I love it. My children have asked me, why do you use makeup? And I'm careful in answering that question because I'm raising girls and I want them to have a healthy self-image. And I enjoyed thinking about that. And I say, it's mommy's arts and crafts. I love to do this.
That's a really good answer.
So I start with concealer, though really you should put concealer on after your foundation, but it's a long habit of using concealer. And then I use an eyeshadow base, and I put a foundation on, followed by a cream blush, on top of which I brush a powder blush. And I use 3 eyeshadow colors plus an eyeliner. And today I'm using 2 mascaras, on my left, one by a drugstore brand, and on my right, one by a department store brand.
I'm exhausted just hearing about it, and I'm
very glad I work in
radio. Jenna Carlson-Fried, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Jenna Carlson-Fried is the health and beauty editor for Town & Country magazine. She joined us today from our New York bureau. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.